Stand with me if you would. We're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting from verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, at verse 1, it says this: "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." So, Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you tell us to not be ignorant, and you equip us, not just by your spirit, you also give us your word of truth. And oh, Lord, this is a topic that there's been a lot of lies, a lot of hidden truth for many of us. I know that was me. That's so many of us here, God. So we ask for you to please clarify things. Show us your word of truth, the Bible. Teach us about your opinion, what you say. Help us to heal. Many of us, Lord, perhaps still need to be healed from maybe lies we've learned from others. There's falsehoods, there's deceptions, there's spiritual abuse. And Lord, I know that you're cleaning up the church at large globally. A lot of that's here in the United States, even within the past couple of weeks. Help us, Lord, simply to turn back to your word of truth, be empowered by your spirit, and to walk in your gifting, your enabling, your equipping. Supernaturally empower us, God. We need you, not just for salvation, but also for our walk, our sanctification. Empower each of us and open up our understanding of your holy word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You guys can have a seat if you guys would. So imagine I have a gift. Let's say it's this, whatever it is. We have a gift that we want to give to you. God's got a gift. Would you want to just let that gift stay dormant? Or would you want to search for it? Would you desire that? Would you want to open it? My wife and I joke around. I know if I'm going to get her a gift, how many of you girls are like this? As soon as you tell your wife, significant other, friend, that you got a gift, like, woo-hoo! They perk up better than coffee. I know if I, and sometimes I'll tease her, "I got a gift for you. Where is it?" You get home, she's like, "Okay." She doesn't, barely says hi, looks through your stuff, where's that gift? Now the point is, if you've been told that you've got a gift, you're going to want it, right? You're going to want to desire it, you're going to want to open it up, utilize it. Well, better than any physical gift that you and I can receive, God has given you a spiritual gift. Much better. Let me give you context. Let's say you're going to be given a flawless 50-carat diamond. And now suddenly he goes, ooh. Your eyes might perk up. Ooh, flawless. Ooh, 50-carat. Well, that's a couple million. I don't know. I wouldn't know. But you would want that. Much better than any physical gift are these spiritual gifts, spiritual empowerment, spiritual enabling that God wants to give or has given. You and I need to know these things. And hey, going back to our vision here in our church, again, you could download the PDF. You'll see, I could hear it's like a flip booklet, it's called. You could download it. And as we go through, we want to teach you guys more and splash out the vision. Write the vision, make it plain that you can see it and run with it. That's in the Bible. So we're going to be looking at discovering your gifts and calling. And hey, we envision a church full of God's people that are serving God and that are walking in his gifting and calling. You need to know that God's got not just spiritual gifts, but God has a call on your life and mine. We believe this is the path that God has planned for your life as well as mine. And so today, again, we're going to be going through what I might call part one of what I got to have a two-part series, because there's quite a bit here to go through, and I don't want to burn you guys out. But today, we're going to be discussing spiritual gifts. So if you downloaded the booklet, this is just the cover. Here's an introduction. But this is where we're going to be at right now here today in page 3. Again, you can download the booklet, the PDF, if you don't have it already. You can share it too if you need to. But we want to discuss spiritual gifts. So what are spiritual gifts? Good question. Notice this. If you're already still in chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 4. It's on the display also. It's in the PDF booklet if you downloaded that. It says there are diversities of what? Diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So there are many gifts, and by the way, you can download this if you want. If you download the PDF, if you click on this link or click on the picture, you will get this. We have that also available in Espanol. There are roughly 17 gifts, and you can download the sheet, print it out, pray through, study through the Bible, and learn, and ask God what gift you've been given. Notice this in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 again. There are diversities of gifts. There are various types of gifts. God is so creative that even if you've been given the same gift as me, the way that you would operate in that gift is so unique, is so creative, that there's no two alike, just like your thumbprint. You could even try to copy someone else, but you're not going to be able to. Because that's how creative your Lord is. He created you in Christ Jesus and has four good works. And he simply wants to express his life through you. Will you allow him to? He wants to. So he's going to give you gifts. These gifts, if you look up the original word, and I put it on the display, you'll see in the PDF, the original Greek word for gifts here in verse 4 is the Greek word charisma. And right away, some of you guys might say, charisma. That's like, very debonair, James Bondish. That person's got charisma. Well, that's not what this word is speaking of. We kind of hijack it in our American language. Charisma, the Greek word, speaks of gifts of grace. Do you know that God has given you, or maybe wants to give you, maybe if you haven't received already, gifts of grace? Why? Because he's a God of grace. And because it's grace, do you have to work for these gifts? No. Now, some of you hubbies out there, you know, when you give your significant other maybe a beautiful gift, you got to work for that. And that diamond ring cost me, it wasn't just 1 month like the beer says, it's maybe 2 years. You don't work for the gifts of grace, though, that God gives. Why do you get it? Do you deserve it? No. Thus, it's God's grace. Literally, that's what this word is speaking of. If you know the Greek word for grace, it's charis. That's the root of this word for spiritual gifts. Charis is grace, charisma, gifts of grace. So this God, who is a God of grace, wants to give you this gifting of grace. You don't deserve it. You don't have to work for it. You don't earn it. Why do I get it? Because of God, not because of you. Amen? So you're saved by grace, and the same God who's very gracious also wants to grace you with his gifts of grace. Again, do we deserve them? No. Do you have to work for them? Pay? No. It's not dependent upon you, but dependent upon this God of grace, your Father in heaven. Through Jesus Christ, he wants to gift you and bless you with his grace. That's it, because it's a gracious God that you and I have. Amen? It's dependent upon him, not you. Please understand that. Because some of you might be growing up and maybe you've gone through life and maybe you have a healing you got to go through. Or your thoughts about yourself or your past, maybe they're lies, and you think, oh, I don't deserve this or that. I don't deserve any gift. If you've gone through life, I remember I used to think this. You'll come across people like, I've never gotten anything before. I've never won anything like that. You'll hear people say that. Anybody hear people say those kind of things? That might be an indication of an unhealed heart, too. Where someone thinks, because of who I am, I never get anything. It's a tough life, a tough city. Everything's tough. Everything's always negative. Everything, the whole world, Satan's on top of my back. No. But sometimes we go through things and we don't want to receive God's grace. Graciously receive his grace. That makes sense. So just know that it's a gift of grace. It's dependent upon God, not you. I love that. Just like salvation. Has nothing to do with you. It's about Jesus, Messiah, and him crucified for you. You don't have to work for it. You just have to receive it. The only work you do is the work of faith. Praise God. Amen. You just got to believe. All right, so this gift, it's a gift of grace. What else about spiritual gifts? Well, he wants you and I to know and to understand spiritual gifts. Look at this again, verse 1. Let's read this again. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be, what's the word there in English? Ignorant. You know, the Greek word there is agnoeo. Agnostic. Anybody hear of someone that proudly, sinless, you know, sinfully says, I'm agnostic. I'm not an atheist. I'm not a Christian. I'm agnostic. You know what they're literally telling you? I'm ignorant. Well, you might say on the streets, you saying you ignorant. Okay. That's what they're saying. Agnoeo. He doesn't want us to be agnoeo. He doesn't want us to be ignorant. In other words, he wants you to know. So we're commanded. He desires us, not just here, but throughout these chapters. So he wants you to know. He wants you to understand spiritual gifts. And what are the spiritual gifts? We don't have time to go through each of them. We might discuss them on Wednesday, so come Wednesday, we can talk in person. You could download this, download the PDF, click here or here on the link, and you get the sheet. You can print this out, print on both pages or both sides, and it'll go over roughly or exactly there, 17 gifts. They all come from Romans 12. But by the way, what are the chapters that speak of the gifts? You guys should know here. We talk about them for years. What are the chapters in the Bible that speak of gifts? Romans 12? Ephesians 4? 1 Corinthians 12? 4. 12, 12, 4, 4. Okay, with the gifts. 12, 12, 4, 4. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. That's good. It's hard to remember. That's why we got to keep speaking about these things. And from those chapters, we can pull out this list as far as what the Bible lists as spiritual gifts. Okay, so you guys could read that and look at it later on and pray through that. If you have questions, let me know. So who were the spiritual gifts given to? Do you know that every born-again Christian receives a spiritual gift? If you didn't know, well, today's maybe a great and special day for you, because this is what God's Word of Truth says for you. Again, not predicated upon who you are or how you've been or what you can do, but predicated upon Him, this God of grace. He's a gracious God. And by the way, be very thankful that the only God in the entire universe, the God of the Bible, is a God of grace. He's a God of mercy, a God of peace, a God of love. Because he's the only God. Imagine, we could have had a mean, cruel God. Like money. Money's a cruel God in the world. If money is your God, you're going to be just like your God. You're going to be mean, cold, calculating. So you become like your God. Right? That makes sense? So the God of the Bible, he's a God of grace. He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy, a God of peace. Guess what he wants his followers to be like? Just like him. And he's going to gift you and empower you, equip you, enable you to be more like him. Praise God for that, right? But we've got a God of grace. So every born-again Christian receives a spiritual gift. Here's what it says in 1 Peter 4. You can see it here on the display. As each one has received a gift. Notice it says each one. As each one has received a gift, what are we to do? Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. By the way, if you've been given a gift of grace, God wants you to steward it. The steward's not the owner. The steward takes care. You could be a steward of a house. Today in workplace, you might call it a manager, a coordinator. You don't own the company, but you're the manager. You're the steward. Same thing. Steward it. Steward your gift and your calling well. If you're in 1 Corinthians 12, still look at verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to, what does it say? Each one. For the profit of all. Okay, so these are verses that help illustrate that point that you and I as born-again Christians, you are given a spiritual gift by God. Also in Ephesians 4, but to each one of us. Notice it says each one of us, not for those that are really good. For those that get a gold star next to their name. For those that, like an Amazon review, that God gives you a 5-star review. It doesn't say any of these things. But simply to each one, you just got to be a child in the Heavenly Father's family. Don't you love that? It's not performance-based. It's based upon Him, this God of grace. Not predicated upon you or me. Isn't that great? It's not even collective voting. Well, that person, I didn't grow up with a lot of money like that person. Let's not vote for that person to get a gift. Because you know how we would be. We'd be stinky with that, right? God's not. God's a God of grace. To each one of us, grace was given. according to the measure of Christ's gift. So Christ is the one that measures it out. Well, imagine that. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, that speaks of Jesus. He ascended. This is after his death on the cross, burial, resurrection. Acts chapter 1, he ascended on high. He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Gave gifts to men. That's Acts chapter 2. So technically, were spiritual gifts given before Jesus died, resurrected, and ascended into heaven? No. Technically. That's important because I grew up going to various churches and denominations and abominations. I'd hear things like David in the Old Testament had the spiritual gift of worship. Anybody hear of that? That's wrong. Anybody prior to the death of Jesus on the cross, his burial, his resurrection, they did not have what we call a spiritual gift. He ascended on high, gave gifts to men, and in that order. Ascended on high, that's Acts 1, gave gifts to men. What chapter in the Bible do we see that? Acts 2, typically. Okay, he ascended on high, Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 2, he gave gifts to men, to people, you and I. So spiritual gifts were given only after Jesus ascended back into heaven. Just to discuss the technicality of that. So you could have someone in the Old Testament. David was, you could say, anointed for worship, gifted for worship, but we wouldn't classify that as a spiritual gift. Make sense? Amen? All right, so know that because you'll talk with people, and then just know they may not know too much about the Bible. You may need to teach them and help correct them with proper biblical doctrine, or else you maybe grow up confused like how I was, and then you'd be brought to God's word of truth, and he can clarify and heal. Also, not everybody's going to receive every spiritual gift. Has anybody ever heard that you get all the gifts? You get saved, and right away you get all the gifts. God supersizes it. Or the Big Mac, he gives it a value pack. He supersizes it. If you like Big Macs, I don't know. But no, not every Christian receives every gift. That's also false. That's not true. And if it's not true, do we learn it from God? Who do we learn lies from? Satan, the devil, right? The father of lies. Okay, understand that. A lot of Christians have been listening to the father of lies, but not the heavenly father. Okay, Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. The spirit of God is the spirit of truth. Okay, we got to come back to truth. So not all receive every spiritual gift. Look at this. If you're still in 1 Corinthians 12, look at verse 29. Here's what it says. Are all apostles? These are rhetorical questions. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? So these are questions that he's positing out there. It obviously does not require a response. So what's his point? Not everybody gets these gifts. Not everybody has these callings or offices that they operate or work in. Even Paul. Okay, so not everybody receives every spiritual gift. That's also a falsity, sadly, that's propagated through the body of Christ. And we need to come back to God's word of truth and just find out what he has to say. God's opinion, not man's opinion. Amen? God's doctrine, not man-made doctrine. Also, here's what it says in Romans 12. Having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So not everybody's going to be gifted the same way. Is that my opinion? Well, it is because I've taken my opinion and I fold it to God's opinion. And he says, Romans 12, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. So all of us obviously don't receive the same gifting, and obviously we don't serve in the same way. Okay? So know that about this gracious God. And again, this God is very creative. You can have the same gift. You and I can maybe operate within the same or similar types of ministries, but there's a totally different outcome. Look at this in chapter 12. If you're still here, 1 Corinthians 12, there are verse 6, there are diversities of activities. That also speaks of the effect, E-F-F-E-C-T, not effect, A-F-F-E-C-T. The effect, the outcome. There are diversities of activities or effects or outcomes, but is the same God who works all in all. So God does the work. He can give you a spiritual gift. He can have you operate in a ministry. Say if we're all given the same gift, it's just a hypothetical question. Say we're all given the same gift and we're all operating within the same type of ministry. Don't try to be like someone else. Amen. Just be you in Christ, because there's dozens of people here. You and I operating with a similar gift or same gifting, if we would, hypothetical question, operating in the same ministry, you're going to have a different effect or outcome. And because we need to be uniquely created in Christ, what does a humanistic mind and eye tend to do when you see someone else? We do what? Compare, right? And how many of you, you're getting healed from analysis paralysis? To any of you guys? I'm the only one. Who else wants to tell the truth? Because you sit there and compare. It's like, I've got that gifting. How come I can't be used by that? Or I like evangelism. Why can't I be like the next Billy Graham or Greg Laurie? Well, they're being who they are in Christ. You simply discover who you are in Christ and be okay with that. God's okay with that. But we're the ones that suffer from that, right? Comparison or analysis paralysis. And what happens if you get into analysis paralysis? You're like, I can't be the next Billy Graham. Therefore, I'm not going to do anything. That stinks. Don't live life that way. Just be who you are in Christ. All right, let's continue on. I'm going to go to the next slide here. We're going to pick it up here because we've got quite a bit of slides here. Or quite a bit of pages, I could say, on the PDF. So what are spiritual gifts for? Now, these gifts are to empower you. To empower you and equip you to witness and to serve. Look what he says here in Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power. I like that word. The Greek word is dunamis. Okay, think of like dynamite or dynamic. Boom, explosive growth. You shall receive power. Dunamis. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That's Acts 1, where Jesus prophesies this. Before he ascends into heaven, Acts 2, they receive what? Boom, power. About a week later, roughly, on the timeline. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. Look how he travels around the world. Jerusalem, that's a holy city. In Judea, okay, that's going out further. That's the southern kingdom at the time of the kings when it was split between Judea in the south and what was on the north. Then the time of the historical books. Israel. Israel was considered the north, and Judea was a southern property. And Samaria, so going even further from Jerusalem, a little bit, we'd say northwest to the Jews there at that time, it'd be like, you know, not just Gentile territory, half-breeds they would consider, because the Jews and the Gentiles would be intermarried there. So when they heard this, they'd be like, you're going to send us out to Gentile territory? I don't want that. Yes, because it's the love of God and the Spirit of God and the grace of God. To Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is what Jesus prophesied. He ascended into heaven, Acts chapter 1, quoted in Ephesians 4, gave gifts to men. That's Acts chapter 2. Again, on a timeline, about 7 days-ish apart from each other. And that's when he empowered them. So he's going to empower you and I to be a witness for Jesus. Who here wants to win souls for Jesus Christ? Okay, that's pretty much all of you. When you get saved, you're like, I was headed for hell and Jesus saved me. Now I want to be sent by him right back in to the same people and tell them, preach to them good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. Why? So they can get saved. So guess what you need? You need God's power to witness for Jesus Christ, right? If you want to get souls saved, see souls saved and disciples made, you simply need God's power, not your power, not eloquence. I'm definitely not eloquent. I'm not a polished speaker, and I don't care to be. I just want to be me in Christ. If someone doesn't like that, that's okay. My dad in heaven loves me, and I got to accept that. You might not, but he loves me. And that's how it is for all of us. So you simply need to be who you are created and designed by the divine designer to be in Christ, not in Adam, not the old life, in Christ. Amen? So he wants to equip and empower and enable you. Look what it says in 1 Peter 4. As each one has received the gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So God will give you gifts. You simply need to be empowered by him, and to serve him with them. And what else? Notice what it says here. I just want to put a lot of these in. Maybe just minister to different people. That's my guess. That's my hope and prayer. is that some of you will hear this, like, I want God's power, Acts chapter 1. Some of you will hear this one, you're like, you're right. I need to not be that guy that was foolish that had that gift, but it's only one, and I was scared, so I want to live in fear, not faith, and I hid it. I buried it. Well, don't do that with your talents. Notice it says here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, you need to stir up the gifts. Therefore, I remind you to, notice it says, stir up the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Oftentimes you'll hear Christians quote this, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But know the text within its context. What is God speaking of? It's not you, like me as a kid, as a quasi or fake Christians, we would sit there on the bench press. Okay? Any of you guys know what I'm talking about? You're like, I can do all things through Christ. God's giving you a spirit of fear, but power. I got power. That's actually bad context, isn't it? And it wouldn't work. God wouldn't empower me on the deadlift or the squat or the bench press. Why? I would, you know, conjure myself, you know, pick myself up. Anybody, was I the only one that was foolish like that? Anybody else like that? But you hear people like that, misquoting scripture, misappropriating it. That's not the context. So God wants to give you and I not a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But what's the context? He's talking about spiritual gifts, isn't he? The Spirit of God will give you spiritual gifts. You need to stir it up. Don't live in fear. He's wanting you to use this with his power, not your power. It's not power as a power lifter. You could tell by my belly I'm not much of a power lifter anymore. I could pizza, fried chicken. Anyhow, I won't go there. Also, don't neglect the gifts. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. That's 1 Timothy 4. Also, as seen here on the display, if you've been given gifts, and also we need to be brands, right? Acts 17, verse 11. You need to test all things, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Test what you hear on the internet. Test what I'm teaching. Test it through the Bible, through God's word. Not my opinion, amen? Test all things. Why? Because what he says right here, look at this if you're in 1 Corinthians 12. I need you to know, where it is. Turn to 1 Corinthians 14. Look at the very last verse. Could you please? Chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14 in 1 Corinthians. That's like a set. Okay, those three chapters are speaking about the spiritual gifts. Chapter 12, these are the gifts. Chapter 13, we'll get into that. It's a better way, the way of agape, God's love. Chapter 14, the only chapter in the entire Bible that shows you how to exercise gifts within a church or congregational or fellowship setting. And look at the very end. Still speaking about spiritual gifts, verse 40, let all things be done decently and, what does it say? In order. This word for decently, look it up. You can look up the original Greek language. I did. It could also mean honestly. Now, I won't go too in-depth here. Someone has a question later on, you can come up and we'll talk. But I'm finding that, you know, God don't play. He cleans up, especially judgment needs to be done at the house of God. I don't mean just this church, the global church. And what he's been doing the past several weeks is cleaning up a lot of churches. What do I mean? Well, there's some that have been getting away with just radical, messy, false prophecies. There's a guy that was in Northern California, in a big church, very predominant, very well-known. That church is known especially for worship music. Some of the songs are okay. And they introduced a prophet, put a lot of people having faith in this guy. And supposedly this guy would, when he knew that there'd be a crowd there, he'd go into your Facebook and he'd learn about your background. And he'd come forward on stage and say, there's someone here. And he already had prior knowledge. Real dirty. Think about that, right? You need to exercise them with what? Honesty. And so this guy's already outed now, and others tried it, but there's a guy, Mike Winger, on YouTube. He put like his five-hour video out. But anyhow, there's this guy now. His reputation is trashed. Not Mike Winger. Mike Winger's the guy that's outing this other guy. But false prophets, they need to do things decently. Again, this word decently could mean honestly and in order. So there's a guy now, his future is trashed. He got into like real bad, let me just say stuff. But one of the things that was real bad that a lot of people started coming forward with is the fact that he would go into people's social media, learn about their background, and then come forward on stage and give false prophecies and false words of knowledge. Word of knowledge, listen, is knowledge from God's heart to your own heart, knowledge which you have no way, impossible for you to know. You don't go into someone's Facebook and then falsely prophesy, and that person says, oh, it must be me, must be from God. And all of a sudden give their money over. And this guy was known as shacking people up in marriage because of false prophecies, and some of those people are like devastated marriages then. Because it wasn't from God, it was from the false prophet. We got to be careful of that, amen? So 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40. Again, I'm not going to go into great detail on that. There's a lot of people doing good research on that. Let's just be careful of that. It's really sad. Okay. So if we just abide by the Bible and stick with the scriptures, you'll see that there's a lot that God will just bring to light, and that also he wants to clean things up. Okay, so do all things decently. Again, that could mean honestly and in order. In the context of 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40, is speaking of spiritual gifts. Okay, so as I want to speak in the positive and say this is what it's about, also there's verses like this. So God's warning us. Okay, he loves us. He loves his kids. Praise God for that. And he wants to protect you and I. So people like me, I need to be a preacher of God's word of truth. Amen? And I need to cite scripture, and you need to be able to check the validity of what I'm saying. And be a Berean. You'll find that in Acts 17, verse 11. They received the word of God. This is from the Apostle Paul. Received it with eagerness, but searched the scriptures, it says, daily to see if these things were so. So they were checking out Paul the Apostle's doctrine. Me, I'm just a dirt-level disciple. You must check out the things that I'm saying, but not by opinion, not by your feelings, because that could be fickle and change, but compare things by and with and through God's word. Amen? Test all things. You must do. That's a command. You got to do that. God commands us. And again, you can look throughout 1 Corinthians 14 for more information. There's a lot that could be said there. But exercise the gifts. How should we do it? Decently, honestly, in an orderly fashion. Let's continue. We're almost done here. And then again, we're going to set up, if we can, to close with worship for those that want to worship. And if you want to be prayed for, want to pray for you. So we can have all the gifts. We can have some of the gifts. You can maybe not know your gift. But what's more important than having all the gifts is that you would exercise them with God's love. So there's a more excellent way. Did I skip one here? Oh, let me just leave it there. So the more excellent way. And this more excellent way, we might say, is the way of agape. Agape is the Greek word for love. God's love. The more excellent way is the way of God's love. Look at this. If you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's start reading here from the last verse of chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, it says, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, notice, he says, it profits me nothing. So I wrote down here on this PDF, you see on the display, if someone has spiritual gifts, but they're not serving God with God's love, what are they? Annoying. So there's anointing, and there's annoying. Don't be that guy. Don't be that gal. Okay? Like, look at my gift. I am special. Yeah, you're especially annoying, okay? So if that's any of us, including me, it could be. That's been me sometimes. Then you're just annoying. That person's nothing, and they're not going to gain any benefit. I didn't write this. God did. Look at this here. This next bullet point here. God is love. That's 1 John chapter 4. And Christ commands you and I as his disciples. Disciples means follower. You want to follow Jesus Christ? Here's what he commands us in the New Covenant time. the main command of Christ, the new covenant, that you would love one another. We've got to be reminded of that, right? We got to be reminded. Because sometimes as Christians, you go through life and you get stained by the world. It's like, isn't it hate one another? Because all I see is hate. It starts staining us. No, he's got to remind us. A new commandment I give you, Jesus said in John 13. You know that foot washing chapter? It says that you love one another. And by this, he said, by your love, not just physically washing feet, but by your love, people are going to know that you are what? That you're his disciple. Not because you say it, not because you sing it, but by seeing God's love through your life. So sometimes you want to preach to people. And I remember before I was walking with Christ, serving Christ, you know what I was looking at? I was looking at people and seeing if they were real. Because I grew up with a lot of people. They were real, but I think they were real fake. Because I would see, and I was doing sin with them, and they claimed to be Christians. And I'm like, there's got to be something different. It's like, you really believe the Bible? And then people like me are going to grow up, and they're going to look at your life and mine. They want to see not a Bible in your hand. They want to see the sermon, not hear the sermon. Amen? You guys know what I'm talking about? It said that a sermon is better seen than heard. Why? Because people want to see your walk, not just the talk. Anybody can fake it. This is New York City. We're pessimistic, right? New Yorkers? Someone comes up to you on the streets. Hey, I got a deal for you. What do you guys and gals know? It's not a good deal. Right? That's New York. You go to the South or other places. Oh, really? Tell me about that. New Yorkers right away, because why? We've been lied to a lot of times. Right? So people want to see. They want to see that we believe in God. But you need his power. I need his power. So this is the time we need to just fess up to God. You know, we need you, God. We can sing songs about, but can we simply not go to church, but be the church? A group of Christians that can love one another, that can encourage each other, that can pray for one another. None of us have it right. None of us got like 100% of our doctrine or teaching right. The only one that does is God. And we're all learning. So we can all make mistakes. So God is love. Christ's command for disciples is that we must love one another. And the fruit of God's Spirit is what? Love. Right? I need more of his love. The fruit of the Spirit, we might see. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. What is it? Love. You guys remember what's next? Joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. What's next? Peace. Philippians 4. The peace of God passes all understanding to guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Love, joy, peace. What's next? Patience. Ooh, New Yorkers, we need patience, right? If you drive a car or even you're taking the bus, like, come on, just cut in, be bold. Bite the lip. Ooh, we're not patient. Someone told me before, it's like, Drew, I think you're patient. I'm like, you don't know me very much. I need God's Spirit. We all do, right? And we're talking spiritual patience. Waiting in line, waiting in Arby's, waiting for someone who's driving. That's a physical patience. But spiritual patience, in other words, like we sing, waiting on God, right? Looks like we're probably going to do that. Here I am waiting. It's Isaiah 40. Who are you waiting on? Those who wait on the Lord. That's Isaiah 40. Waiting on the Lord. So you're praying for him. You're waiting on him. Well, I've been praying for months. I've been praying for years. Keep waiting on God. He wants you to wait on him. All right, so we need more of his love. And the fruit of the Spirit is God's love. So if God is empowering a person, a Christian, to minister to someone, you should be able to notice God's love pouring through their life. Maybe you're sitting there like I am many times, like, God, I'm just dry. Jesus, you said in John's Gospel, if anyone's thirsty, spiritual thirsty, not just physical, if anyone thirsts, what does Jesus say to do? He says, come to me. In that passage, he says, if anyone thirsts, come to me. He who believes in me, so we believe in Jesus, amen? He says, as the scriptures have said. So we believe in him. The whole Bible preaches and teaches about Jesus, amen? He who comes to me, or who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of your heart, your innermost being, will flow what? Rivers of living water. And when we don't understand what that means, you're not going to fully understand it. John gives us the interpretation. Right after that, he says, This he spoke concerning what? The Spirit of God. So God's Spirit, after Jesus died on the cross, resurrected, ascended into heaven, poured out his Spirit, and also got you and I saved, what happens with his Spirit? He lives within us, and that's not it. He wants to flow through your life. There's a dead, dry, and thirsty world all around us. And God can use you to minister to you. And I love when the church gathers. It's like practice, right? Because you go out in the world, you go as a missionary, right? So we can pour into each other, God willing, and allow God's Spirit to pour through us like living water to minister to people. And it wouldn't be us, it wouldn't be your love giving out. You give out your love, and you ever give out your love to someone, you help them, you love them, you're pouring into them, you're feeding them, whatever it is, preparing meals, preparing spiritual meals maybe, and then they hurt you. You hurt my feelings, or I gave you a napkin, you threw it back. Well, you know, there's so many things that hurt us. Sometimes we get so easily hurt because we give out our love, right? But when you give out God's love, then you and I could be like Christ on the cross. Father, forgive them. But they know not what they're doing. We can have mercy. We can see it from his perspective. Or like Stephen, the first martyr for the Christian faith. Lord, don't hold this sin against them. That guy got stoned to death. Think about that. So we can't say, oh, Jesus, but that's you. You're God in the flesh. But me, man, you don't know what I'm going through. Oh, he does. And his Spirit will empower not just Stephen, but you and me, so that we can respond with God's grace, his love, his mercy. So how do you and I receive spiritual gifts? Good question. God's Spirit is the one that distributes spiritual gifts. If you're still here in chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things. It says distributing to each one individually, and it says as he wills. As he wills. I could pray for you. We've got oil. We can anoint you with oil by faith that God would anoint you by his Spirit. We could pray that you would have a certain spiritual gift. But guess what? I don't dole out the gifts. The Spirit of God does, amen? He's going to distribute to each one individually as he wills. Not as you will, not as your prayer request. It's like, oh, I didn't fast and pray enough. That has nothing to do with it, because it's about God's grace, not your works, right? And by the way, when you receive a gift, like I didn't want the gifting that he gave me. I didn't want a speaking gift. I was a computer geek. I wanted behind the scenes. I'm better as an assistant. That's what I thought. But God's got a different plan. So whatever he's given to you, use it, open it, stir it up, exercise those gifts. Just obey him. Also, he can give it by what we call the praying and laying on of hands. In the Old Testament, with the priesthood, there was a transference. You would, as someone that you came to worship in the tabernacle of the temples, you would bring an animal, and you'd have to commute your sin over. You'd lay your hands on Fluffy, or whatever that cute little animal was that you had at home. You would sacrifice, I'm sorry, Fluffy, you got to die because I sinned. I broke God's Torah, his law. And you commute your sins over. It was a thing of transference. So the laying on of hands, that was a Jewish thing, and it carried over into the New Testament. So many would receive spiritual gifts through praying, and the laying on of hands of the eldership. You'll find that in 1 Timothy 4, 2 Timothy 1, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 19, Romans chapter 1. And I put here, simply receive God's gifting by faith. And we don't have time to go to this next one. You can read it later on. Are the gifts available? Yes. Some will say they've ceased. We call them cessationists. Read this within the context of 1 Corinthians 13. The gifts are still available today. And let me just say it this way. You're my family. I need to tell you truth. The Spirit of God has not died. Okay? And he's still as powerful today as he ever was. So there are some that because of their doctrine, your doctrine informs your actions. In the New Testament, you got people that were Sadducees. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in spirits. They didn't believe in a resurrection. So guess how many Sadducees believed in and received salvation through Jesus after Jesus resurrected? We don't know of any. Your doctrine informs your actions. So if someone is convinced that the gifts aren't available today, guess what they probably won't see happen around them? They probably won't see the gifts. They probably won't get them. It's got to have to receive by faith. You can read this later on. We believe the gifts are still available today. But I'm going to close with a word of prayer. And if anybody wants to be prayed for, that we can pray for you to receive God's gifting of spiritual gifts or his empowerment, enabling for your life, for ministry to serve him, I'm simply going to ask you to come forward. We've got oil. We can anoint you with oil. And simply, as we put down here, simply receive his gifts by faith. He's the one that gives them out. All I could do is pray for you, anoint you with oil by faith, praying by faith that God would anoint you. Let's all stand, please. Thank you. And we're going to go ahead and worship. Some of you want to worship some more. That's great. Some of you may want prayer. If so, I prayed for you. And we simply want to pray for you that God can anoint you, that God would empower you by his gifts. And so let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. Lord God, we ask that you please would minister to those that are here. Father, thank you for your children. We gather here by faith in the name of Jesus, our Savior, our great high priest. We know that he's still living. He's our great high priest. We want to serve him as a new covenant priest in this new covenant time, supporting him, Lord. Oh, but Lord, we know that you're a God of grace, that you can give us gifts of grace, and we simply ask that you can empower us here. We know that you're the one that distributes individually as you will. Your gifts will help us to know your will. Your gifts will help us to know what your plan is, perhaps what you're calling us to. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works. So what are those good works? Who are those people? What's that ministry? How should I serve you at my workplace, in my community, with my family, wherever you're having us walk about or travel about this earth? We want to be a witness for Jesus Christ. We want to serve you. We want to be your disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. But we can't do it in our strength. We know we need your grace. We need your supernatural enabling, your equipping, your empowerment, that dynamite power that you gave the early disciples, still available for us today. Help us, for we do pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.